The Alaska legislature is getting to work on a bill that would boost state funding for public schools by more than $460 million. Sitka Independent Representative Rebecca Hemshute introduced the bill on Friday that would boost basic per-student funding by roughly 30% over 3 years and adjust it for inflation. Hemshute is a former teacher who co-chairs the House Education Committee. She says the bill is an effort to catch up after years of inflation outpacing school funding. She says prices have risen by 36% since 2011, and education funding has risen by less than 10% over that same period.
So there's a huge gap there, and I think that all of us have noticed and have heard from parents, from families, from school districts that that gap is there, and it's causing huge, huge problems and taking opportunity away from our students. So this bill looks to correct that.
Increasing the base student allocation is a key priority for leaders of both the House and Senate. Education funding reached record levels last year after lawmakers passed a $175 million one-time funding increase for public schools. But it was just a one-year bump. It wasn't included in Governor Mike Dunleavy's budget for the next fiscal year. That means lawmakers will have to budget at least that much to keep school funding at current levels. Hemshute's bill is just 2 pages and addresses only the base student allocation. That's a contrast with last year's approach, when lawmakers pursued an omnibus funding bill that was ultimately vetoed by Dunleavy. The legislature failed by one vote to override his veto. Republican House Minority Leader Mia Costello of Anchorage says discussions on school funding are important, but equally important are new education policies that improve student performance. She says Republican lawmakers plan to discuss the funding issue at a retreat over the weekend. Majority lawmakers say they hope to move the bill through the House and Senate quickly, since school districts typically have to submit their budgets in early spring. The House Education Committee plans to hear House Bill 69 at least 3 times this week. They'll take public testimony at 2 hearings scheduled for Wednesday. One of the 200 executive orders that President Donald Trump signed in the first few days of his new term was aimed at accessing more natural resources in Alaska and seeks to roll back protections on millions of acres in the Tongass National Forest. As KRBD's Jack Darrell reports, the regulations have been a political football for years, and a regional conservation group has pledged to fight the latest move.
Trump's executive order is titled Unleashing Alaska's Extraordinary Resource Potential. The order alleges that restrictions placed on resource extraction, like mining, logging, and oil drilling on Alaska's federally protected lands, is, quote, an assault on Alaska's sovereignty and its ability to responsibly develop those resources for the benefit of the nation. Among the order's many statewide targets is Southeast Alaska's Tongass National Forest. It's the world's largest remaining temperate rainforest. Trump's seeking to rescind the so-called roadless rule, which has prohibited road construction and timber harvest on nearly 60 million acres of national forests across the country. Normally, an executive order like this would kick off a lengthy public process with the U.S. Forest Service and its parent agency, the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Maggie Rabb is the director of Juneau-based Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, or SEAC. They've been fighting to retain the roadless protections for decades. She says it's hard to predict what this administration will do next, so she's currently playing a game of wait and see.
We don't really know if they're going to do the usual. This president has proven to be unusual sometimes, and so we're not sure. It is possible they could just try to remove it and skip the public process.
Trump took action to exempt Alaska from the roadless rule during his first term, only to be reinstated by the Biden administration. Rabb says the rule has been rolled back and rolled forward by various presidents pretty much since the start, but not without a fight.
They do remove the roadless rule. It could start new litigation that we would join to put the roadless rule back in place. And then we would be suing against the Forest Service.
And Rabb says it's possible the current administration could completely remove the roadless rule in short order and begin construction on new logging roads through the forest.
The push to roll back roadless rule has very little to do with on-the-ground realities in Southeast Alaska or market demand. And it's very much about external agendas that are disconnected from our region.
Keith Landers has operated a small sawmill on Prince Wales Island for the last 30 years. He doesn't think that more logging in the Tongass is a bad thing.
This is a big forest. It grows over 1 billion board feet a year. No one's going to clear cut the whole thing.
Landers says he hasn't had a timber sale in 2 years because small mills like his are pushed out by larger competitors for the limited inventory. And most of that wood, he says, doesn't even go to Alaskan homes. Landers says he's glad for anything that would open up more timber for his mill, but only if it prioritizes Alaskan operations like his and supplies local people first, as opposed to more large corporations buying up the Tongass and shipping the lumber overseas.
Over the 30 years I've been here, nothing has been done. I have never felt like I have been supported by anybody.
Landers hopes the new Trump administration can guarantee a sustainable amount of Tongass lumber at a reasonable price without environmental groups like SEAC taking them to court. But he's not optimistic. He says it takes a lot to operate a mill, and the rules changing every 4 years makes it hard to run a small business.
That's what I would tell Mr. Trump. I would say, you know, we got to have a forest plan that works and that's guaranteed for people to invest. It doesn't do any good to turn around and tear it down in 4 years. Don't bother us.
Joel Jackson is the president of the Organized Village of Cake, an Alaskan Native tribe located on Kuprianoff Island in the heart of the Tongass. He's been supporting the roadless rule pretty much since it was formed because he says the old growth trees it protects are essential for preserving their way of life.
It took thousands of years to become what it is today. The canopy of the old growth trees are spaced in such a way that it allows growth underneath the trees. And that's where we collect our medicines and our berries and everything else that's there.
Jackson says he respects anyone trying to make a living. He himself took part in industrial logging a few decades ago. But he says having seen what that did to the landscape, clear-cutting huge swaths of forest, he now advocates for a more measured approach.
I'm not against anybody working, but, you know, gosh, we got to be able to manage our resources better than what we've done in the past.
Trump hasn't made his picks for who will lead the USDA or the Forest Service, so he hasn't actually staffed the agencies that he's giving direction to. Thus, it remains to be seen how this executive order could play out. USDA spokesman Wade Muehlhoff said in an email that they're in the process of reviewing the executive orders handed down from President Trump. Afterwards, he says, they'll tell agencies how to implement them as soon as possible. With reporting help from Michael Finelli in Ketchikan, I'm Jack Darrell.
And the city of Delta Junction's privately owned ambulance service announced it would dissolve earlier this month. That means residents may have to provide their own emergency transportation to Fairbanks, almost 100 miles away. Shelby Herbert reports for the Alaska Desk.
Delta Medical Transport has contracted with Delta Junction for at least a decade, but for the last 2 years, the city has paid the company almost exclusively with its portion of American Rescue Act Plan, or ARPA, funding. That's the federal relief money that went out in the wake of the pandemic. Since 2021, the company's operational costs have racked up. With it, the city's EMS budget rose to over $500,000 per year. And all the while, officials never came up with a sustainable way to pay for the service. When Delta Medical Transport rescues someone, the company usually bills their insurer. The company receives about 40 calls for help per month from in and outside the Delta Junction city limits. Now, Delta Junction's ARPA funds have dried up, and the company is folding, and there's no public ambulance service in town. The owner of the company, Amber White, formally resigned at the Delta Junction City Council meeting on Tuesday. She said harassment from community members also factored into her decision to close up shop.
You as a community have refused to take initiatives and responsibility for paying for this vital service. Anytime taxes or fees are mentioned as a possible solution toward a sustainable funding stream, you scream freedom. You scream no borough.
Delta Junction resident Sherman Stebbins is among those who are calling for safeguards against what he believes to be government overreach and extravagance. Going forward, he says he wants the city to consider less expensive options, like working with a nonprofit ambulance service or going all volunteer.
There's one group that are all beating their head against the wall, trying to find this enormous sum of money. And there's another group that would like to be a part of putting together a fiscally responsible plan. It can be done differently.
Several community members showed up to the meeting to ask city officials to find a way to sustain local EMS and to praise Delta Medical Transport for their quality of service over the years. They said they're worried about safety. They're worried about how it might impact the city's ability to host high school basketball games, and they're worried about how long it might take to replace or restore the town's emergency medical services. As it stands, Delta Junction's lone ambulance company will officially dissolve on February 21st. They'll be available to take their final calls for aid until just before midnight that night. After that, Delta Junction residents may have to drive to Fairbanks for emergency care. Reporting in Fairbanks, I'm Shelby Herbert.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 40 degrees and raining. Tomorrow night we might get some snow, and it looks true for Wednesday as well. In fact, there's a winter storm watch Wednesday night through Thursday morning. You're listening to KTOO. Thanks for tuning in.